Was Wednesday night's loss to the Atlanta Hawks the last time we saw DeAndre Ayton at home in a Phoenix Suns uniform? Was it? Maybe. We'll talk about it on today's episode of Locked On Suns. Let's go.
You are Locked On Suns, your daily Phoenix Suns podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we are back. This is Locked On Phoenix Suns. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and I'm your host, Brendan Kleen, a credentialed media member covering the Suns for the past six seasons, a writer at Suns.com, and the host of the Just Basketball Show. Thank you for making Locked On Suns your first listen to close out your week. Happy Friday. Hope it has been a good week. The Suns did not do their part on Wednesday, but we'll try to close you out with a good show here today. Hit follow, hit subscribe wherever you're finding us. We're on all podcast platforms. We're free on all podcast platforms, including YouTube. Hit the bell down below if you are on YouTube. Get a notification when a new show goes live. And drop a comment with your thoughts on the big question of the day, which is going to center on DeAndre Ayton. We're less than a week until the trade deadline. Aaron Edwards is here, as he is every week, to break it down. Give me your thoughts in the YouTube comments. We'll talk about it in just a second. Today's show, guys, brought to you by LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNBA. More from them later in the show. Aaron, the Suns are playing the Celtics tonight. There's a trade deadline in less than a week. Devin Booker is coming soon. Matt Ishbia is coming soon. This team. When was the last time we had a quiet Suns week? I mean, I guess there were some ugly ones in like December there for a little while, just in terms of the actual basketball. But there's been drama for, I mean, like 3 years. I don't even remember the last time I felt like there was nothing going on with the Suns.
Yeah, I think since the Chris Paul trade happened, it's just always been something. Like, whether it's who's gone, who's staying, is this person ever going to get better? Are they going to dunk the ball ever again in their life?
You're already on it. We're at 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
I'm kidding. I had to do that, though. But I just mean, like, it's just always been something with this team. It just seems like from day one when Chris Paul got here.
And I don't even mean negative, right? But it's just like something all the time. Let me ask you the question that I asked the audience at the beginning of the show. Is that the last time? Kellen Olson from Arizona Sports posed it to me as we were leaving the media area after the player interviews and everything. And I'll pose it to you. Was that the last time DeAndre Ayton played a home game at Footprint Center? Let's just kick it off. Give me what you think right now. It's February 2nd at 3:15. What do you say right now?
Trusting us to make a move on anything, I'm out on it until I see it. It's just one of those things I know is possible. I know is in the job description. I know teams do, but I don't trust us to do it. So no, like a move happening from the Suns, James Jones, nah. Like I know he technically has to with some of this stuff, but I just don't see it. And he has a no trade clause. So yeah, like I will believe the Suns will make a move when I get that notification dinging on my phone and more than one person says it. I won't even believe it after Woj says it. Like, I will have to see that person in or out of a Suns jersey on the court during tip-off. Like, and that's when I'll believe that it's happened.
What do you make of the fact that we'll talk plenty about DA. But I want to ask you another question. What do you make of the fact that there's been so much more stuff? I mean, we did that show a while ago where I was basically just making a whole big deal about the fact that Windhorst's source was James Jones and like whatever that meant. But there's just been so much more stuff out there about the Suns. Like I'm used to your point about the Suns rarely doing anything. I'm used to covering this team just pure like, I'm a palm reader and there's no palm. Like I'm just trying to just guess and open my third eye and try to figure it all out. And now this year there's like every day something about this team. Do you think that's actually because they've been more active? Because the Ayton rumor falls into that, right? I mean, anything we've heard about Ayton, I think in years past, whether they were going to trade him or not, we just wouldn't have known anything. And now it's like people can't stop talking about the Suns. Why do you feel like that is?
I think like even if James Jones didn't want it to come out, we're in such a weird position to where we literally have to make a trade. Like, our starter is sitting at home and he doesn't want to play for us anymore, and other teams want him. So there was no way that wasn't going to get off. The Suns have to make calls. So people are going to be like, hey, have you talked to the Suns? Since they obviously have to make calls because Crowder, they're not going to just let Crowder burn a year, and Crowder doesn't want to just burn a year. So I think just because we're in a unique position where we literally have to make a trade, like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts, like, it has to happen. It's just stuff is going to come out because they know we have to do it.
Well, I mean,
the Ayton card is the part that kind of came out of nowhere. Like,
and the Chris Paul stuff, right? Which you texted me about a while ago. Like, everybody seems to think the Suns are moving on from Chris Paul, and you're hearing that from all these different places too.
Yeah, that stuff coming out is like, I think it's probably people still kind of guessing, like, because we kind of maybe do have to do that. If, like, we've done the Ayton thing, Chris Paul is getting old. So some of this stuff is kind of like, it explains itself. Like, we can't let Chris Paul play out the rest of that contract here. It just can't happen. It's not going to happen. It won't happen. It would just be ridiculous to let it happen. So I think, like, some of this stuff is just kind of self-explanatory.
It's kind of the curse of being mediocre again or bad, right? It's like when you're when you're winning 18 straight and you're on a pace to win the West and all this stuff, nobody's really bothering with rumors about you, because what is there to say? You're going to trade for Torrey Craig again, and that'll be that. But in this case, there's a little bit more, like you said, it's just sort of obvious, right? Like, after game 7, I think the Suns are also like a little bit of an easier target now, not even because they're not winning as much, but also it's just the drama we talked about at the beginning of the show is, hey, your owner's trash and your player doesn't want to play for you and your coach and your big man hate each other. And like, it's just, if you're just imagining like the gossipy conversations that happen between, you know, ESPN reporters and like whatever assistant GM in Orlando, it's just easy to imagine the Suns coming up in a not so flattering way. On the Ayton side of things, I don't think he's going to leave. I just don't think we see teams with the amount of success the Suns have had and the fact that this year has been so uncertain make such a big move in season. Nobody's going to be caught saying the Suns have a perfect relationship with DeAndre Ayton. Like, that is not where I'm coming from. I think it's far from that. But when is the last time we saw a max level player starter get dealt in season who didn't demand to be traded? You know what I mean? James Harden did that. Ben Simmons did that. It just, even for a DeAndre Ayton caliber player, let alone a superstar, it just doesn't happen. So that's a boring way to put it, but the reality is history tells us it's probably not going to be the case. Maybe next summer, if you ask me, I'm probably way more likely to say yes, but the next week, I don't think so.
And I think just James Jones, like that article that came out months ago, he's too stubborn to admit an L like that. Like, he's not going to pay Ayton, draft Ayton or pay him or do all this stuff and then be like, no, I lost that one. Like, we failed on this one. Let's let him go. Like, he's too stubborn to do that. He's going to see what Ayton's going to become before he even considers doing something like that. I honestly just think, like, everybody's too stubborn to give up on Ayton already. And Ayton probably is, like, I don't know how wanted he – I mean, they say Toronto wants him, but I just don't know, like, the market for him right now out there.
Yeah, I want to get into that rumor about Toronto because that was interesting today. And obviously Toronto's in the middle of a lot of stuff right now. But I also think like the other part of this from a timing standpoint, if you're asking me, is it going to happen in the next week? Why would his value be more now? You know what I mean? Like more now than in the summer. Like the teams that I think would be wanting to get DeAndre Ayton would be teams just like we were talking about in the summer, right, that see him probably as somebody with untapped potential, like you just said, same reason James Jones might not want to give up on him. I don't know why there would be a team who, like the Pistons or whatever, all the teams we've talked about, I don't think they're really in play right now, but a team that sees him as he can spread his wings here, why are they going to go do that in February? What do they have to gain? I mean, you get an extra half season of building with him and seeing what he can be. Like, I just don't see why a team that wants him would be in such a hurry either, because I don't see those title teams being the ones who would want him, who see him as, oh, if we get him, we're in it. That's not really the types of trades I see. And so why is somebody going to, you know, win a bidding war for DeAndre Ayton right now?
Yeah, it was like, any team that would trade for him right now, like, would just put him in a situation to be middling. Like, I don't know why you would just want that big a contract to just be average, below average. Like, maybe Atlanta, but I don't even see that. Like, I just don't know what kind of splash getting Ayton on your team right now would do for you.
Let's talk about the Raptors rumor and the value that Ayton would have, because I think that is obviously important when you're talking about any of this. He's probably one of the hardest players to gauge in the NBA. There's sometimes you'll read that he has no value at all and no one wants anything to do with a big trade for him. And then there's sometimes when you hear, like this one, that the Raptors were actively interested. And so I think it's somewhere in the middle, but it's pretty hard to parse. So we'll try to do that next. First Today Show, guys, brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. As a small business owner or hiring manager, you know the importance in 2023 and beyond on the team members you surround yourself with. Whether you're a small business, whether you are on the lookout for a big corporate hire, whatever it might be, LinkedIn Jobs can help you get the qualified candidates you want more efficiently by matching open roles with people who have the skills, values, and experiences to help you achieve your goals. LinkedIn Jobs helps you quickly attract qualified candidates to your open jobs with targeting tools. They go beyond resume data by using insights from your job post, company, and their 875 million member profiles, nearly 1 billion profiles to pull from, guys, to put your post in front of the most qualified candidates out there. Identify the most qualified candidates on LinkedIn Jobs and connect with them fast and easy for free. LinkedIn Jobs makes it easy to screen and rate applicants based on your job qualifications. Do all of this, sift through everybody, all on one platform. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. So post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNBA. That's linkedin.com/lockedonNBA to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Okay, so we heard this report, I think from somebody pretty well connected in Toronto. I think from Sportsnet. I don't remember the person's name, Aaron. And it was basically saying that last summer, the Raptors were interested in a sign-and-trade for Ayton, which is not a team we talked about a ton. I know they've been connected to centers, and it's been out there that they want a five, but we didn't really think of them as being a strong contender to go get DeAndre Ayton last summer. Turns out they might have been that. But then you have on the other side the conversation about his overall value, which we're going to get into right now, and I feel like I can't help but wonder if the reason something didn't get done with Toronto when you're talking about a sign-and-trade is the price tag on Ayton. And not from a trade standpoint, but from a money standpoint, paying him. When it came to be clear maybe that they were going to have to give him a max as part of that, I feel like that to me is probably why they backed off. Because if they had a real offer with the trade intending to pay him a max, they have enough good stuff that I kind of think he'd be a Raptor right now.
Yeah, like it seemed like they were waiting to see what the market was going to say about him, and they got it. Like, I think everybody was kind of waiting to see what the market was going to be on Ayton and if we were going to sign him, because James Jones kept that one really close to the chest about whether we would do it or not, even though he said that he always was going to do it. But yeah, I think that we didn't talk about the Raptors that much, even though we knew what players on the Raptors we were kind of thinking we wanted. So yeah, I really just think that if all of that was like that clear for them, he definitely should be a Raptor right now. I don't know how it didn't happen.
I don't feel like there are a lot of teams out there right now, setting aside the fact that he has the no trade request and he can kind of control his own destiny with how he's played, and the fact that as a center in the NBA, the most important thing you need to do is defend and protect the basket. And those two things have been pretty bad from him this year. I don't know of a team that's going to be wanting to trade all that much. And that's the other real reason I don't see a trade happening, is you're going to give up trade assets to then pay a center, which right now would be an overpay for what his production has been this season, especially on defense. You got to really believe there's something there that hasn't been seen yet if you're doing all of that stuff. The Raptors, I actually think, is a team that makes sense from that standpoint, because I do kind of trust that they're going to turn a player 15% better than what they had been before, 20% better. They have a good track record of doing that. I don't know of a lot of other teams that I would imagine are going to say, yeah, let's give up, you know, a first-round pick, two first-round picks, multiple young players to go out and pay a $30 million. It's the same thing as the sign-and-trade conversation. I mean, it's a little less complicated, but it's the same thing we were talking about all summer. It's the same reason the Suns ultimately couldn't find a deal and ended up having to match. I don't know really what's changed. If anything, this season has been even more up and down.
Yeah, I think maybe people just hope that he's going to be more engaged when he goes to them. Like, because he does seem especially disengaged on defense. Like, he used to get switched on the guards in a perimeter and, like, really take that as a challenge. And I don't think I've seen him do that once all season. It just seems pretty lackadaisical. He'll get the switch and he just stays back. Like, he used to really go for it. And yeah, this season, just the intensity on defense just isn't there. And maybe it is just a change of location thing. And we have been very bad on defense lately. So I think it's a team thing. I think kind of he has to pick up more of the slack than even he probably can handle. So I think part of that is just like the how bad the team defense is, not just him, but like he is part of it. And I don't think I think that would just have to be what other teams are seeing. Like, they think that the change of location would engage him more, probably.
It's weird to me because, it's not weird, but it's frustrating, I guess, because some of that stuff is the lack of second effort, all that stuff. Those are the habits that made him such a polarizing guy when he was getting better. And I honestly did think a lot of that stuff was behind him. I thought, you know, I've been a critic of his and all that stuff, but like, if you had told me he's going to get worse again defensively and look like the guy he used to be a little bit, like, that would have still surprised me. I think it's not crazy to imagine that there's some sort of untapped potential. And I do think that, like you said, this season being obviously talent around him on a night-to-night basis has been worse. That you can't underestimate that. I mean, same kind of thing with, I know no one loves to feel sympathy for Rudy Gobert, and like, look, I don't either, but it's a lot easier to play defense when you have Quinn Snyder and Royce O'Neal and Derek Favors and Ricky Rubio and Mike Conley than, you know, rookies and Anthony Edwards in his third, fourth season and whatever. Same thing with Ayton. But I also think there's a little bit of like that emotional or like psychological burden that he's had to bear, that I think he's a guy with how much that stuff seems to affect him. I could see the fact that it's like going out, suiting up every night and being like, we don't have a chance in this game. Like, I think he is one of those players that's going to be, he's just going to disengage. And like that, I'm not making an excuse. It's not the ideal way for an athlete to like go out and perform, but it's also human nature a little bit. And he's a guy who leans in that direction. The one thing I do wonder though, Aaron, is if Matt Ishbia comes in, which he is supposed to be announced next Wednesday morning, is the report. I think Baxter Holmes had that. If I'm imagining what Matt Ishbia comes in and slams his fist and says, like, something needs to happen. Like, I'm tired of hanging out with my whiskey sipping buddies late at night and we're watching a 35 point blowout to the Hawks. Like, this isn't okay. I need it to be better. Is Ayton the guy who he brings the axe down with? Like, is Ayton the guy who gets traded if Ishbia demands something? I genuinely just don't really know. I don't know how to decipher who that would be. I feel like I lean Chris Paul though, if I was just imagining like the most aggressive, something needs to go, like, trade the old guy. It would be the thing, right? And Ishbia would have the least connection to like a franchise saving icon, kind of like he wouldn't have that baggage with it. So I feel like it would be Chris, but I guess you could make the case Ayton would be a possibility there too.
Yeah, like that is really hard to gauge because it's just two different situations on why we would do it.
Yeah.
Like the Ayton thing would just be like, it's ran its course. Maybe somebody, he could be better for somebody else and we get assets for it. The Chris Paul thing is, we have to do this before it's too late and before that really steep drop comes. And so, like, yeah, like, I don't know what he like values more. Does he value getting out of a contract and getting assets before the person declines all the way? Or does he want to get assets for a young dude that may make the leap, but for us, like, that time maybe just be up and he could probably get some stuff for it? I don't know what side of the coin like a dude like Ishbia would be on, but yeah, it could be, it would be pretty much one of those two. I just don't know what side it would land on. I don't really know the guy like that, so I don't know
who's the most values. What's the most Tom Izzo-ish player on the roster? That guy's safe. That's book, I think, in actuality. No, I think like in all the way that I've been thinking about a lot of this stuff, and that's an unknowable answer, right? But the way that I've been thinking about it is whatever's going to get wins on the record is going to be what he's going to do. And so as much as I don't know what the value of DeAndre Ayton is, for all the reasons we listed about what he could be, what he has been, the age, all that stuff, you're probably getting better value in a trade for DeAndre Ayton. Like, I don't think it's crazy to think you could have Ayton be the centerpiece of, let's say, like a Fred VanVleet deal.
Yeah.
That has a Chris Paul component too, but you know, whatever one you want to throw out there. I think I could see Ayton, even though teams might not value him super highly, the salary makes sense. He is young. You're getting a guy who you're going to plug into your starting lineup for the next 4 years with Ayton at the very least, you know? And so I think that's probably if I'm Ishby and I'm saying what will go out that will get me the best thing coming in, more so than Chris Paul, that's going to be DeAndre Ayton. So I would probably lean that direction in the end. There's another guy, though, that I think we're not talking about, and I have some other questions as we look toward next week. Monday morning will be when the next episode comes out. There's always something. I think that's when Tobias Harris got traded that 1 year from the Clippers to the Sixers. There's always something that first Monday, it feels like. So let's prognosticate a little bit after one more quick break. First, today's show, guys, brought to you by America's number one sportsbook, that is the FanDuel Sportsbook. And this year, the only app you need at your Super Bowl party is FanDuel. We're super excited to announce FanDuel as our new sports betting partner here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And if you're new to FanDuel, well, welcome. It's even better. They have so many great features that make sports betting fun and easy on Super Bowl Sunday and beyond. So download the FanDuel app now so you can bet Super Bowl 57 with a no-sweat first bet. That is, of course, their signature offer. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't cash. FanDuel lets you bet on everything for the big game, from the money line to point spreads to who will score a touchdown. But of course, we have stuff on the NBA side too. The Phoenix Suns are plus 800 at the FanDuel Sportsbook to win the West. Plus 800. That is the fifth best odds. They're behind the Clippers and the Warriors, which is kind of interesting. Behind the Nuggets and Grizzlies, obviously, as well. Game odds. We have first basket odds for NBA games here on FanDuel. Tons and tons and tons of stuff. So join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/LockedOn to claim your no-sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. The FanDuel Sportsbook app is safe, secure, and super easy to use, and you get your winnings instantly. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Okay, so the last guy I think we got to talk about, Aaron, who I'm curious to hear what you think, because this has started to polarize people. I heard it on the radio here locally. I've seen it online, mostly centered around OG Anunoby, but I just think in general it's interesting. If I'm the owner coming in, or anyone coming in, Steve Nash, we don't know, do I look at, of all the players on the roster, somebody who is still young, has a NBA caliber, ready-made skill set for like a role player plus type of guy who is not under contract long-term for me and who has injury questions, and think that's the guy that I should trade? And I'm sure people know what I'm talking about. It's Cam Johnson. I feel like that is maybe something we're not getting talked about now, but only recently do I feel like we're really thinking about that possibility. We've talked so much about Crowder, Ayton, Paul. I might put Cam Johnson at equal odds as those other two guys to go, probably more than Chris Paul potentially, because I just don't know what you can do there. What do you think about Cam Johnson? Is he going to be a Sun in a week?
I think so. Like, I guess in my head, like, I just don't know why you would do that, because this is a team that's having such a hard time scoring that I don't know why you would sacrifice that for another 3-and-D dude who, like, I talked to my friend Sam Folk. He lives in Toronto. He's like he has a podcast for the Toronto Raptors, and he says OG, like, he's a really good knockdown shooter, like, when he has space, and of course he's really great on defense and the creation, like, he's hit or miss with it. It, like, do we want another one of those? Like, yeah, Mikal Bridges is making the leap on offense, it's really looking like, and he's being aggressive and he's doing all the stuff that we wanted him to do, but when Cam Johnson is on, like, that is really important for us, especially a team that still doesn't shoot threes like everybody else, like, who still doesn't really get them up like everybody else, and a team that's having a hard time scoring. So, yeah, like, I can see why we would do it with his contract being up, and he's going to need to be paid, and he's coming off an injury. But this team can't score sometimes. I think yesterday we went, like, I mean, after I stopped watching, but in, like, the third or something, we went, like, 4 minutes without scoring. Like, that happens. And I know Cam Johnson was out there, but I just – for a team that has such a hard time scoring sometimes, that is one of the ones I'm not sure about.
Yeah, with OG, I think, it wouldn't be a perfect one-to-one. You would be changing what your team is. And the way that I kind of put it, although I did say I would do that trade, I would do something – Cam and, you know, one first round pick, and salary, if that gets it done. I don't know if it does. From what you're hearing, if you listen to all the people who know stuff, it seems like that might not be enough, but I would do that trade because I just think you're going back to, like, the recipe from the finals run from last season with a little bit of a better Mikal Bridges. Well, a lot bit better than of Mikal Bridges. Yeah. And then a, like, super powered version of Jay Crowder, basically, which is what OG Anunoby, the kind of the role that he would be. I think there's also the aspect of, if you're talking about injury concerns, I don't exactly think Cam to OG is some sort of massive upgrade from a confidence about health. OG has had his own problems too, including major knee stuff in the past and everything, surgery. But the point you made a second ago is actually a good one that I was going to say, even though I don't know if you were making it the same way I would have about them not scoring. You said, well, Cam Johnson was out there. If I'm hearing him again now, and I don't want to, like, I know it's a dude's health and, like, I've gotten to cover Cam forever. He's been on the podcast. Like, I do feel a little awkward getting in his head the same way that I might with other people, just cause I know him and he's been so honest about how much of a pain literally and figuratively all this stuff has been for him. But he's kind of admitting last night, the pain level is worse than it had been lately. And he's like, I don't want to make an excuse, but I think he's 2 of 15 from the field the past two games. Do we know Cam Johnson's going to be 35 minutes a game, even 30 minutes a game, even active in every playoff game if the Suns make a playoff run this year? And I think that part of it, too, is pretty important. You know, even if you're just talking about this season and what the roster looks like now and what their needs are right now, I don't know. It's not an easy one. I tend to like you. I mean, it's not even like, I know we rightly can make fun of James Jones for not making a lot of trades. It's not even so much that for me. It's just any trade is hard. Like, if you're thinking, will this guy get traded or no? Most likely the easier thing to put money on if you had to is no. Like, always. Yeah. But I think it could happen. I think Cam could go. I'm not going to make any bold predictions of where or anything, but he's probably more available than maybe Suns fans would think, just for those reasons, if the Suns are as aggressive as we think. The last question I had for you before we get out of here, Aaron, if the Suns, like, let's just put all the possibilities and the probabilities of all the stuff we've talked about into, like, one formula, and just maybe they make a Jay Crowder trade. Maybe they don't make the other trades. Maybe they make one more small one, but they don't trade any of the big players and everybody stays healthy, but they have maybe one small injury. Like, just the most like right down the middle version of all the possibilities of everything. Do the Suns have a realistic chance at a championship? Like, do you think there's anything they can do between now and then that's reasonably possible, now and then being the trade deadline, to make us feel like they really have a shot at winning the championship? Because I'll let you answer.
No, I think, my answer is no, obviously. Yeah. But I think that it was the problems that we had were a 2-year fix. And I don't think any of those things can be fixed with this trade line deadline. It maybe could have been fixed if we did something in the last trade deadline and then managed to do something for this one. But I think all this, he let all the stuff rack up too high to where it can't be fixed in one deadline. If we got a second off ball or a second score playmaking guard last year, and then we didn't have to deal with that anymore this year, and we could fix the other stuff, then yeah, I'd say like we were maybe one or two moves away to finally having what this team like really needs. But having to do all that, get one of those, get another trade Crowder, get another stretch four, probably another 3-and-D dude. We got an aging point guard. Having to fix all that now is just asking too much. Like maybe if we would have started and looked at this last year and started maybe, but we didn't do that. So now we kind of racked up the problems too much, and one season's not going to change that.
That I don't have much to add. I think what you just explained, I think, illustrates exactly why people get so mad about inactivity in general. It's not just to say, you know, it's fun to see trades or like, you know, you put these band-aids on just for the heck of it, but it's like the best general managers in all of sports, but especially basketball, where there's not so many guys, you have to keep rolling things over. And I think the biggest thing that I see, although it's not, none of the individual players are the most significant guys on the team by any means, but it's going to be pretty damning, I think, for James it's almost a lock. I don't think he's going to get rid of all these expiring contracts. And the best teams don't let stuff like that happen. You know what I mean? You don't let... I know Dario tore his ACL in the middle of his contract, but still, yeah. Right? They didn't play him for the first 2 months of the year. Why? I don't know. Crowder, campaign could be expiring if you want him to be. Torrey Craig, Shamit is not expiring yet, but next year he will be, and you probably should be thinking about that already. Having like two players who were productive role players, members of your rotation, just expire and leave, it's just bad management of stuff. And so you're totally right to say that if they had done something where, okay, last deadline, it's Craig for, I guess they didn't have Craig, but you know, it's Payne for this, right? It's campaign for this guy, or it's even like, okay, let's get off of Ayton soon, like they talked about with Sabonis, because he would have been, you know, expiring because he was about to be a free agent, or any of this stuff. Trade Crowder if you knew you were going to have a, you know, like wild west like gun down with him in the middle of the main street, like an old cowboy movie. Then you got to do something about it sooner. Like, yeah, it's just not having that foresight, and it really could come back to bite them, where all these guys don't provide what you need, and then they just leave, and then you don't have any of the assets. Like, you're kind of starting over from scratch, and you're at the tax and all that stuff. So they have to do something. I do think they're going to make either one very big trade or multiple smaller trades. So that I will say, but I tend to agree. I don't know if there's much they can do that's going to make me feel like this team's ahead of Denver, ahead of Golden State, ahead of Memphis in the championship race. They're probably praying for an injury is where I'd put them if they make a big move. Which is, I mean, it happens.
Yeah, it sucks, but yeah. Yeah, they're in such a tough spot roster-wise that, yeah, I just don't know how we can maybe upset somebody, like, in a round or give, like, really stress somebody out for a round or two, but, nah, I don't really see it happening.
Got to be honest sometimes. Sorry, folks, not a great way to end the week, but I think that was a really good conversation. It's exactly what I wanted to do, was just level set, have an honest chat as we head into the weekend. There could be some moves. We always see a few start to sprinkle in, and then obviously next Thursday will be the big one. You can catch me on Monday on the PHNX podcast as well. We'll be doing a roundtable. I think Kellen Olson will be there. I think John Voida from the Suns... Jam. I don't remember the name of their podcast. That was not supposed to be disrespectful. I genuinely don't remember the name of the podcast. John Voida from that show, he's been on here before, and all the PHNX people. Brandon will be here Monday. We have the Boston game. We have a Detroit game to talk about. So nothing's slowing down by any means, but I wanted to get that conversation out of the way. Hit subscribe, hit follow wherever you get your podcast wherever you're finding the show today, including YouTube. Now go make Locked On NBA your second listen here on this Friday to round out your week. Get the latest across the league. That show's available on all podcast platforms as well. And I will catch you guys next week.